Part 1. Self-Education. Complex trauma impacts your mind and body in profound ways. The good news is that your brain is plastic and your body wants to heal. We can't change what happened to us, but we can change the impact it has on us. It's important to note that any approach to addressing trauma is only helpful if you're not too overwhelmed by it physiologically and emotionally. Seek the support of a trained professional if you feel overwhelmed by your trauma. Educating ourselves about our trauma and the impact it's had on us is the crucial first step to healing. As one of our respondents said when asked what's helped them the most, "For me, it's been knowledge, books and conversations and classes. It's led to understanding of why things happened, why I am the way I am, and it gave me great advice on different things to do at different times that have been really helpful, like identifying cycles or triggers." For conversations with others to help you understand your trauma, we recommend the CPTSD community on Reddit. Three important areas trauma survivors focus on during their self-knowledge journey include differentiating between mental and physical anxiety, increasing feelings of safety, and trauma integration and tuning into emotions. Let's delve into these. Differentiating between mental and physical anxiety. Different methods are required for addressing mental and physical anxiety, although they're often interconnected. Mental anxiety examples include hypothetical worry, i.e., what if thoughts, catastrophizing, when your thoughts jump to worst-case scenarios, i.e., making a mountain out of a molehill, threat scanning, when your mind searches the environment for what you fear, often associated with your mind assigning meaning to innocuous events. Threat imagery, when your mind produces thoughts or mental imagery around threatening or unwanted situations, aka intrusive thoughts. Thoughts and feelings of unreality, of the self and the world. On the other hand, physical anxiety examples include breathing difficulties, for example, feeling as if you can't get enough air, chest tightness, heart palpitations, and irregular heartbeat, digestive issues, muscle tension, headaches, restlessness, ringing in the ear, general aches, pains, and tense muscles, tingling or numbness in the arms, fingers, toes, or around the mouth. Mental anxiety is easier to manage through cognitive-based strategies. If you've received cognitive behavioral therapy and haven't gotten much out of it, it may be because your main concern is physical anxiety. Here are some examples of how you can address mental anxiety. Cognitive restructuring, cognitive diffusion, cognitive distraction, self-soothing, radical acceptance, and general mindful awareness. The Thinking Slow method inside the Mental Well-Being Toolkit is a step-by-step guide to reducing mental anxiety. Some examples of how to address physical anxiety include yoga, breathing exercises, progressive muscle relaxation, PMR, exercise, spending time in nature, and listening to alpha wave-inducing sounds, such as nature sounds, binaural beats, or calming music. Increasing feelings of safety. Another common theme in trauma healing is that of safety. Experiencing trauma causes changes in several areas of the brain, including the amygdala, hippocampus, and prefrontal cortex. The amygdala, our brain's fear center, can become overactive, causing heightened vigilance and an exaggerated perception of threats. Next, the hippocampus, which helps distinguish the past from the present, can become suppressed. This can lead to flashbacks or the overwhelming feeling that past trauma is still happening, even when it's not. Finally, there's the prefrontal cortex, the rational part of the brain responsible for regulating emotions. Trauma can disrupt this area, making it harder to respond calmly and logically to situations. As a result of these changes, people with trauma often live in a constant state of fight, flight, or freeze. Healing trauma is learning how to feel safe in your own body, around others, and in the world. Working on reducing both your mental and physical anxiety can help you achieve this. Trauma integration and tuning into emotions. Another common theme for trauma survivors is the importance of trauma integration. As Bessel van der Kolk puts it, knowing what we know and feeling what we feel without getting too overwhelmed by it. One trauma survivor commented, "It's really hard and I'm rubbish at it, so it comes in fits. But when I am able to sit down and have a dialogue with myself about what I'm feeling, whether it's as small as my feelings about the weather that day, or as big as overwhelming emotions buried under trauma, not what I should or could or would or might be feeling, that's where I find the most joy." Another noted, "One of my biggest coping mechanisms is intellectualizing emotionally charged stuff, but I'm very slowly learning how to pause and take a breath and ask my inner child how she feels, not just telling her what I think." If you feel rejected by your caregivers, you learn to shut down and to ignore what you feel, which changes the wiring in your brain areas associated with bodily and self-awareness. This detachment from bodily sensations is often referred to as alexithymia, or the inability to recognize and describe one's emotions. When the brain's emotional and bodily awareness areas are compromised, it becomes challenging to regulate emotions and understand how our body is reacting to stress or anxiety. Healing trauma involves re-engaging with our emotions and bodily sensations, which rewires our brain. This process is known as neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections. When you start to engage with your emotions and bodily sensations, you begin to create new pathways in the brain that support emotional awareness and regulation. Over time, these changes contribute to a more balanced and adaptive nervous system, promoting overall mental well-being.